Today's lesson concerns Genesis chapter 15, specifically verse 6. The title is The Justification of Abraham. Let's read the first six verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The doctrine we're going to discuss today is the doctrine of justification. Justification, very simply, is by faith alone, in Christ alone. Abraham was called in the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. But here, several chapters later, he is proclaimed righteous in verse 6. So we see then the call, then the justification follows. Now this follows the eternal plan of salvation as described by Paul in Romans chapters 8, verse 29 and 30. This is God's simple plan of salvation. Let's take a look at what that has to say. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, this is the biblical plan of salvation. It follows this order, and if a man or woman is saved, this is how God has set it up, that they are saved. This biblical plan of salvation is the only plan of salvation. One word of caution here is, this plan of salvation is not to be used as a hobby horse, to be ridden all the time. There is a lot more to Scripture than a hobby horse. Let's just let it go at that. Some people ride a certain doctrine, and this certain doctrine controls just about everything in their theology and in their teaching. Now let's see here. This is the order of salvation. If you're saved, this is how you're saved. This is how God has ordained the certain steps. This is justification is one of the steps, and it doesn't stand by itself. There are previous steps. The foreknowledge mentioned in Romans 8:29. What that is God is not foreknowing who is going to be good, who is going to be bad. God foreknowing what a person will do with his or her gifts that God bestows, or whether they are worthy of this gift. The foreknowledge mentioned here in this verse is the foreknowledge of what God is going to do and what he plans for that individual. Now, the predestination has to do with becoming in his image. Now, we're called like Abraham was in chapter 12, and then justified, then glorification will follow, and it's in that order and in no other way. The call to salvation is only through God's word. Abraham believed the gospel, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Let's see if I can bring that up. That would say, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we see Abraham believed the gospel. There is only one plan of salvation. There is only one true gospel. And this is what Abraham believed. Now, in regard to salvation, and in contrast to all other religions of the world, Christianity is a do-nothing religion. It is a do-nothing religion for the reason that Jesus has done it all. And after we have passed from death unto life, he lives in us and works out grace in our lives. The convert believes it as Abraham, the father of the Old Testament church, also did. The Old Testament church, just as a called out assembly of believers. Now, that is different than the nation of Israel, but there is a Old Testament church. According to the Septuagint, the word church, ecclesias, is throughout the Old Testament. In Romans 4, 1 through 8, the English word for church comes from the Greek ecclesia, or called out ones. The church appears in the Old Testament as mentioned in Acts 7:38. If you look that up. Acts 7:38, This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now, this man, Abraham, he was to leave his family. He was to leave his country. But God had given him promise, which he believed. And he walked by faith. Now, justification is by faith alone, Galatians 3:11. And this faith doesn't originate in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thought processes. According to the Bible, Ephesians 2:8 states that this faith is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. But faith in what? As Abraham found, not only faith in God and his word brings justification, but not any legal works, prayers, decisions, penance, works of contrition, pilgrimages, baptisms, partaking any means of grace will do. Now, a legalist is anyone who tries to gain merit with God by anything in which he does, Romans 3:20. Now, Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, and so we need to be repenting of them also. But what is justification? We can clarify by saying what it is not. First of all, it is not just a decision. Now, a decision is important, but it's not just a decision. It's beyond that. It's a decision in your heart that's carried on day by day. Number two, it is not just accepting Jesus. Now, that's kind of like a terminology used in modern day evangelism that has things somewhat reversed. We should not worry about making Jesus acceptable to us. Biblically, we should worry about whether we are accepted by him. So what it is not just a decision, it's not just accepting Jesus. It is not anything I do. That would be, as mentioned before, it's not baptism or taking a wafer or a pilgrimage or anything along that line. Number four, it's not anything I say. It's not special words, it's not special prayers, it's not a special formula. And number five, it is not just a good feeling. It's not just a positive input. It's not just thinking positively. Justification is not any of these. It can include these, but it's not just any one of them. What it is two things. Justification is, number one, it is the proclamation of God that declares one righteous. Number two, it is God refusing to count a person's sin on his record. Let's look at the first one here for a second. It is the proclamation of God that declares one righteous. God, the righteous judge of the world, looks upon those who have faith in Christ and sees them in Christ, and he then proclaims them righteous because he views them in him. They are accepted in the beloved. Now, it is God looks at us by his standard, not by our standard. We don't get into heaven by proclaiming ourselves better than anybody else or better than the next guy, or even good enough. Our standards are totally corrupt and fall short of the glory of God. The second one is God refusing to count a person's sin on his record. Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Let's take a look at that real quick. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God refusing to put in the ledger book a man's sin. And it also mentions here whose sin is covered. But what covers sin? Now, if you remember the original sin back in the Garden of Eden, what was the covering of their sin? Well, God gave them a covering. Adam and Eve received a covering from God. They both accepted it. And this covering came from a slain animal. Blood had to be shed. So that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So a person, in order to have their sins covered, blood must be shed. And the only one, according to Scripture, that was able to shed their blood on account of someone else's sin was Jesus Christ, because He was perfect. He was the foreordained sacrifice. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8, 33 and 34. What this means is, after we are brought into the family of God, no matter what the world says and what the opposition says, the devil and his angels, they are not able to lay any charge against us, so we should not be negative about ourselves. We should be positive, because we are on the winning side. Now, the believer standing in Christ won't change. A believer's state of being or state of fellowship, as mentioned in a previous lesson, is subject to change, but he is called unto sanctification and holiness. Now, God is the one that keeps his children in line. He keeps us. Hebrews 12:6. The word scourge is mentioned there. It is used. God keeps us in line. Sometimes he has to use harsh measures. Now, the difference between justification in Paul's writings and that of James is that Paul uses the word justification as a legal term. In other words, he uses it as if a judge would pass judgment that a person is judged as not guilty. Whereas James uses it demonstratively, that is, as if it was seen and borne out before man as a witness. Now, before man can appear as condemnable, justifiable, or as a hypocrite, that is, masking his own real life and intent, you have to have the idea that I can be justified somehow before others by my actions, if they are done for a good reason. Now, this is rather erroneous to think that way. You might fool some of the people some of the time, but God, you will not fool any of the time. For the saved, Christ is the reason for all of our words and all of our actions. Those in the church who have never obeyed the gospel call will to repent and believe can only be hypocrites or unregenerate converts. The gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and they rose again as the third day for our justification and ascended into heaven for intercession for us. The gospel is to be obeyed. It is a command. You either repent and believe or you don't obey it. If you obey the gospel, if you obey the call, then that is the correct, you're on the correct path to salvation. As the world gets worse and His word, that is God's word, is not being faithfully preached, you'll see in the church the tares infesting the wheat, becoming worse and worse. And this will be true until the end of harvest, according to Matthew 13:30. Now we who live by faith are, until then, until Jesus returns, we are to also contend for the faith. That means another word would be to agonize for the faith, to daily strive to please Him as a faithful servant. Galatians 3:11 and 1 Corinthians 4:2. I believe this pretty well covers the idea of justification following the call. Like I say, justification doesn't stand by itself as a doctrine, even though some people just try to isolate it and forget the rest of God's Word. It is all one unit, and so we all need to keep it all together for an understanding of what's going on here. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we ask now that you'll